So we've just been debating the benefits and joys of beetroot there, and George and I are big fans, but not you, Keith. Not a fan of beetroot.
No, not a bit. That is celery sending shivers up my spine.
It's very good for you, though. I'm cleans sure. the blood, beetroot. Yeah, so I've just been exchanging when my mother was over recently, picking. I mean, you know, we complain about food here, freshness of food. We're in a supermarket. She went, look at that beetroot. That's so fresh. She took it home and roasted it for me with obviously with meat and other delights. But yeah, roasted beetroot,
you
delicious.
You must have wondered what the hell she was doing.
I was like, you know, all my life I've known you, mother, and I've never known you to roast beetroot with a roast dinner. I mean, it was delicious. I mean, I love it. I have beetroot a lot, but I have never roasted it like that, you know, and have it with a kind of a lunch, you know. So I always kind of have a risotto or something, but... Very good. So there you go. That's our thoughts on beetroot. The reason why is we've had a text not on beetroot, but on ginger. And I think the link there was I love beetroot and ginger and carrot juice all together as a juice. So anyway, they eat a lot of raw ginger, washed but raw. Are there any dangers related to this? So eating a lot of ginger raw?
I don't think there are any dangers. It's a bit like anything. Anything too much is bad for you, and anything too little in some cases is bad for you. Ginger has quite good anti-inflammatory properties on the gut. I eat some raw ginger and a raw carrot salad sometimes to help help clean the bowel a little bit. But I love ginger, and I use it for all clients with inflammation and gastrointestinal issues.
Gentleman here saying, I'm 43 years old and my height is 180 centimetres and my weight 85 kg. Now, my wife is insisting that I take vitamins. Please advise. So, interesting. I mean, the giving weight and height and then going straight to vitamins. So, what do you think, Keith?
I do recommend vitamins. I usually test if there's a specific need. So if someone's adrenals are out, there might be a need to have more vitamin C. There might be a need to support with magnesium, especially with things like high blood pressure. But your broad spectrum multinutrients aren't a bad idea. The cheaper ones tend to have a bit more bulking agents that aren't particularly good in them, and sometimes the quality. I try to use the best quality vitamins that are out there that are derived from natural plant products sometimes. I mean, there can be a need for that, given that we're exposed to lots of the oxidative stress, a lot of the inflammation. Having a broad spectrum multivitamin is a good idea, but then you know, sometimes they contain high levels of iron, and some people don't need iron, and some people if I need to assess specifically, I'd say yes, you need this and this. When people say to you, oh, you need to take this whole range of nutrient supplements, ask them what's their validity for it. Why are they actually taking? What are the clear reasons why these people need these nutrients? Because remember, people have a very different kind of spectrum of why they need nutrients.
Sorry, George, go on.
I was just going to say, you talked about high quality. Is price the guide?
I think it's because I'm in the know. I've been at conferences like functional medicine conferences where I've sought out people who are providing pretty good quality nutrients. Sometimes the price can be an indicator, but just because you're paying a lot for something doesn't mean you always get the best.
Yeah, because when I'm in the store and I look at all the vitamins on the shelves, I tend to go for the cheapest because I think, well, you know, vitamin C on this shelf is, you know, 15 dirhams and that's 50 dirhams. Well, it's a no-brainer.
With some things like vitamin C, there can be very little difference between them. But when you're talking about B vitamins and how they're derived, sometimes there can be a difference. So, yeah, I mean... Get your supplementation advice from somebody who knows, nutritionist, functional medicine practitioner, that kind of thing.
If we're in the supermarket and we need to just pick up three, you know, we're all very busy and we can't. I mean, we've talked about so many supplements today. What are the top ones you think that most people should probably include?
Again, it depends on the thing. I'm going to try and pick three that I would always recommend. A really good B complex, because B complex supports metabolism and it can also affect things like you know thyroid and fatigue issues. I'd always vitamin C is a great one. Vitamin E, but then there are many other nutrients that I would get people to have as well, like, you know, all these antioxidants like resveratrol and curcumin in a broad spectrum antioxidant. But vitamin C, vitamin B and maybe vitamin E.
Sure.
But there are plenty of others, like if people have sleep problems, you'll go more magnesium, or people have other kind of issues, you'd recommend a lot of other supplements. Yeah, yeah. So it's difficult to do that, but those three maybe.
Coming back to beetroot, just for a second, I saw an Ayurvedic doctor a couple of months ago, and I was advised to stay away from vinegars. I was advised that it was causing me problems with my digestive system and possibly also anxiety. Any thoughts on that? You know, in terms of, I mean, a lot of people eat pickles in this region as well.
So you're thinking pickled beetroot. Yes.
Pickled food, yeah.
I'm not an Ayurvedic practitioner and I don't know too much about it, but I am aware it's a bit like traditional Chinese medicine, from what I gather. There are certain types and constitutions that should have certain things in their life and not so many things. So that's based upon that. And I mean, if it works for and it's worked for you, then that's great. But I don't know too much about Ayurvedic.
Do you know if there are any negative consequences from consuming vinegar? Is it bad for the gut?
Sometimes, because a lot of vinegars are fermented, when there's a fungal overgrowth, that can be probably an issue. Mm. I'm not 100% sure, but sometimes organic apple cider vinegar is used in suppressing fungal issues within the gut. But again, it would be on small amounts. I mean, pickled foods and that would probably, like we say, anything. Even water is poisonous if we have too much of it.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess when you think of vinegar, you think of acidity, yeah. And maybe that's going to, but actually it can have healing properties, but it is about, you know, knowing your body and what works for you and just checking in. How do I feel after I've had that? Do I show any symptoms?
Good sign. You know, anything that kind of affects you, whether it's an energy or bloating, gas, fatigue.
Just want to bring it back round to the heart, and we talked about the effects of stress on the heart earlier, but I think we should round off with this, because as much as we key factors to heart disease will be obesity, smoking, inflammation, that's what we've been talking about as the key indicator, but I think we really can't underestimate the negative effects stress can have on our health and well-being, and in the long term could lead to the breakdown in certain vital organs, particularly the heart. So just to understand stress a little bit better, and how to, if we're living with stress, some stress can be good, but if we are living with stress, that sort of fight or flight feeling day in, day out, what could be happening to our bodies?
Well, it's a concept of just the body breaking down. I mean, the inflammation will only last so long, and we can only keep producing these hormones and producing these nutrients that will basically stop the body breaking down. So what people really need to consider is find out what is the stress that's causing them the problems, whether it's the emotional stress, whether it's their job, whether it's from eating poorly, whether it's doing too much or too little exercise, whether it's, you know, not getting enough nutrients in. There are plenty of things out there that can cause these problems. We might not always be able to identify them, but look at how you feel. Use how you feel as an indicator. Getting good sleep is really important. If you don't get the right amount of sleep each night, staying up late and getting up early is going to increase inflammation, because we just don't produce the right repair hormones that are essential for stopping us aging, stopping our body breakdown, and basically causing us to enter an early grave. So, but there's lots that people can do. It's not all doom and gloom. Get the right plan, the right exercise, the right sleep, the right nutrients, and you're there.
And just imagine you could feel so much better in a very short space of time.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Keith. As always, a pleasure. Your contact details.
You can reach me if you look on the websites Balance Body Mind or optimalfitness.ae. And my email is keith@balancedbodymind.com.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for all your text messages today and for listening. Thank you, George.
Thank you. Really enjoyed that.